Welcome to the broadcast of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. Apostle Anthony J. Patterson is the Bishop and General Overseer. This is the church that is called by the name of God, the church that walks in God's perfect law, and we follow the faith that was delivered to saints. Write to Bishop Patterson at Post Office Box 109, Darby, Pennsylvania, 19023 in the United States of America. Visit us online at theapostolicfaith.org or dial area code 610-583-2400. We invite you to contact us for information or questions you may have concerning salvation and the apostolic faith. Let us know how the broadcast reception is in your area. Email us at info@theapostolicfaith.org.
Calendar of events. Texas State Convention, February 23rd through the 26th in 2017, 3700 Carl Street, Dallas, Texas, 75210. 64th National Women's Conference, April 9th through the 16th, 2017, 1534 North Davis Street in Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. 63rd National Men's Conference, May 25th through the 28th in 2017, 1534 North Davis Street in Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. 68th National Youth Conference, July 2nd through the 9th, 2017, 3700 Carl Street in Dallas, Texas, 75210. 82nd National Convention, August 24th through September 4th, 2017, 3700 Carl Street, Dallas, Texas, 75210. Scheduled events are subject to change by the Spirit and the direction of Bishop Patterson.
We thank God for being here today to declare the one gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, to all peoples, to all nations, because there is but one God, and Jesus Christ is He. This is Bishop Patterson from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. This is the church that is called by the name of God and is a church of the faith of God. And we are glad to be one that declare the gospel of Jesus Christ as it was declared beginning at Jerusalem, even until now, that repentance and remission of sins would be preached to all nations. And when the commission was given to all of the men of God, they were told to go throughout the world, teach and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This name is Jesus. And we thank God that the church has followed God's commandments, starting at Jerusalem. And I want to expound with you today and speak on this remission of sins and how important it is that if you desire to have your sins forgiven, it requires first for you to have the repentance. And once you are sorry or you have a heart that is contrite, the Lord then can have you obey the gospel. The Holy Ghost is a wonderful guide, and the Spirit of God is a wonderful guide to guide you to remission. If you have a desire to be saved, then you will hear the words of the Lord and obey them. You will find water and make sure you are baptized in His name. It is this name of Jesus that has the power, as you have heard from this church from generations, from Colossians 3:17 on, that you have heard, that whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And there is no other name that we have that have any power to do anything for you. And every man that wants to see or meet the Lord in peace must find the remission of sin. And this is where the enemy fights the entire world. He does not want you to find the forgiveness of sin. And it is such a simple thing. But if you think about what the world has created and what the religious world specifically has created to keep people away from truth, it is amazing to me to think about all of the smorgasbord of religion that is in the world that calls itself religion or call itself the church and do not obey something so simple as to how to get the remission of sins. And when the scriptures let us know that this was going to break out at Jerusalem and that this repentance and this remission of sin was going to be preached starting at Jerusalem. So if we're looking for the remission of sin, let's start at what happened on the day of Pentecost at Jerusalem, when there was obedience to the word of God and they all were waiting for what God said would happen. And what happened was when men and brethren asked the apostles, what shall we do to be saved? Peter stood with them and said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Here now is what Christ said will start out at Jerusalem. And what would be preached? So it was preached that repentance first, then the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. This remission of sin, remission is I forgive, I pardon. So I take away, I blot out all of your sins. And here again is where the enemy is going to fight the word of God as he has fought it from the beginning. When he told the man and the woman, you will not surely die. And he lied. He is lying again when he tells you that baptism doesn't do anything today. That it is a outward showing of inward grace. There is no such scripture. There is no such belief that has ever been in the church, but man has come up with all of these things because the enemy has inspired them to go against and do all you can to fight the truth of God. When the enemy told the woman that she would not surely die, go ahead, take and eat. That was totally contrary to what God said to do. So if he told the church that repentance and the remission of sin was going to be preached to the church starting at Jerusalem, how did it get changed that the baptism now doesn't save us when Peter said that it does? How do now the world, the religious world supposedly, go against the gospel of Jesus Christ that they are supposed to be proclaiming? When we look at Acts, the second chapter, and when they ask, what do we do to be saved? Peter began to do what Christ said would happen at Jerusalem. Repentance. Now, today I want to talk about this blotting out of sins, this remission of sins, this pardon of your sins. All of you know that if you have committed a crime and you get locked up in jail, if the president of the United States pardons you, you are now free. You are now able to walk out of the prison. And though you were guilty, you are now free from the punishment of the act of what you did, because you have now been pardoned. Now, the devil don't want you to understand you can get this pardon from your guilt, because we have all sinned and coming short, he said, of the glory of God. But there is a way now that we can find a pardon for our sins. And that pardon that the Lord will give you, the elder the other night was telling the church, he's this Monopoly game that have a get out of jail free card. Here is where Christ's blood gives you a get out of jail free card. And what does the enemy tell you? You don't need it. It doesn't profit anything. Your birth from your mother was your water birth. Whatever, it doesn't really matter now. It doesn't matter about the name. It's best that you follow what he gave the instructions in Matthew 28:19 and baptize in those titles. It doesn't really matter. And Christ is sending his preacher to say it does matter, because when his preachers preached and at Jerusalem, he said in the name, and he gave us the name. He fulfilled the desire of Jesus' teachings to say, go throughout the world and teach, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Those titles, those three workings of God is not his name. So when his preachers go, they declare it in his name. Even when the church of the Gentiles got it by Peter, Peter said, who now can forbid water? And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So this whole genre of faith or belief or this perverted gospel that is going that you don't really need water. Can't you see today what the enemy is keeping you from? He's keeping you from the forgiveness of sins. Because if someone takes you in water and they say, I therefore baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost, and he never calls the name, he has lied to you, and he has not given you this pardon of sins, because it must come in the name of Jesus Christ. If you can just imagine with me, if I want a pardon, I want to know whose name is it on that document that is giving me this pardon. Because if it's Joe Blow, that guard or that warden ain't going to pay no attention to no other name other than the one that's behind that seal that say the president of the United States. And when he signs a pardon and they see his name on it, they don't see president. He don't sign it president. He don't sign it commander in chief. He don't sign it husband. He don't sign none of the titles that he has. He signs his name, president, and whatever it is, his name. Same thing here with Christ. If you want the pardon of your sins, it must be done in his name. So the name is the thing that has the power. So if someone puts you in the water, you must listen out, for I therefore baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, or in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sins. Now you are pardoned. Now you are free. Now you are forgiven. But what does the enemy tell you? It's not necessary. You got it by Matthew 28:19. That's what Jesus said. And Acts 2:38 is Peter talking. Well, I think God gave Peter those directions. I also believe that Peter followed God's instructions in Matthew 28:19. But the enemy now comes and he starts his own religion. He starts his own faith, and everything he believes is contrary to God. So are you believing what God said? Or are you of the contrary part, that you believe what the enemy says, that it doesn't matter? This belief, this faith, is what was once delivered to saints. Saints got the baptism in his name for the remission of sins. There is no way you can get the blood of the cross by the Father, because the Father did not have a body. You can get it by the Son, but he declared, "Me and my Father are one." It's in his name, because he put on the sacrifice flesh for all humanity, that when he died on that cross for the sins of Adam, then there was a moving of the Spirit that a spear would come and pierce him in his side, and salvation would then run down for all of humanity. Water and the blood and the Spirit agreed in the earth to find the remission, or the blotting out, or the forgiving, or the pardoning of sins. I'm hoping, I am praying, that I am making this so plain that even if it's a foolish thing, you would not err. But I know, just like I know the back of my hand, many of you are going to hear it and say he's right. But when it comes to the doing, there is a chain on your heart. There's a stoning of your face. There's a weakening in your spirit that you will not do it. But at the end of this thing, you're going to look to the God of heaven, and he's going to say, "I don't know you," because sin, a sinner, is going to stay away from God. He doesn't believe a liar. But if you want a pardon of your sins, then I will look to him, look to the cross. That pardoning comes by the cross. He said, without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission. Now, if we can't find the forgiveness by the shedding of blood, who shed it? The enemy don't want you to see Christ. But I'm asking you today to look at Christ and his sacrifice to make sure you can find the pardoning of sins. And this is a joy that I have when I'm among saints and you hear them stand to testify of the goodness of the Lord. And from most of our generation, we would always say, "I thank God for my water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, because it is a precious thing to us." Most saints say, "I thank God that I have the Holy Ghost," and they have the evidence of that when they heard themselves speak in an unknown tongue. But it is this remission, this forgiveness. How does one obtain it? How does one get it? If it started at Jerusalem, and Peter said in Acts, the second chapter, when he got the question, "How do I be saved?" he told them what Jesus had given them. And if it was profitable then for the day of Pentecost, if it was profitable for when Peter gave this congregation this speech of repent and be baptized, it is profitable now. But let's explore what the enemy has done against what God said. Now, Peter said that this entrance to the kingdom of God was going to be preached. And God told Nicodemus in John that except a man is born again of water and spirit, he couldn't even enter into the kingdom. So how are you going to get an entrance and get to the door of the kingdom if it's not by water and not by the spirit? So the enemy says, you don't need no water. That's the first thing Jesus told Nicodemus to get in. You don't need it. Your birth from your mother was your water birth. Really? But let's look at how many believe it. Let's look at how many of you believe that water is not essential. You have these great crusaders that are going throughout the world and fooling a whole bunch of people and never preached water in the name of Jesus Christ. They'll say some highfalutin thing like, you know, you can go to your church of your choosing, and whatever denomination you want to go to, even if it's non-denominational, which means it's nothing, and do whatever they require you to do. What kind of crusade is that? Can you imagine Jesus telling the multitude, after you leave me, go do whatever you want to do? Go and do what make you feel good? Go find a church home? If he told them that, he would be making them depart from him because they would be working iniquity. But Peter didn't tell them to go find somebody else to do the work. Peter and them did the work. Even at Cornelius' house, he didn't tell Cornelius, I preached the gospel to you. Y'all got the Holy Ghost. Go to a church of your choice. Peter didn't tell him that. He said, can any of you all now forbid water? And he brought them into the entrance into the kingdom of God. They had the spirit. Now he commanded that they get the water. But let's look at what the enemy has come up with that's totally contrary to God. What does he say? It's not essential. It is not necessary. Well, what did God say? What did God declare when he got in a body? What did God declare when he gave it to his men and said this repentance and remission of sin must be preached throughout the world, starting at Jerusalem? The enemy now is contrary to that. So if you then obey the enemy, the Lord said, you shall surely die. And when he come looking for you like he did for them, he's not going to find you saying, Lord, I've been waiting for you. You're going to be hiding. And he's got to search for you. And he's going to want to know from you who gave you that. And you've got to have an answer. And it won't be me. You can't say Bishop Patterson say I didn't need it. You won't be able to look at me and say, Lord, Bishop Patterson told me I didn't have to be baptized in Jesus' name. It won't be me. But you've got to answer who gave it to you. And that who, I'm directly and indirectly coming to you to tell you, why would you tell the people water is not essential? I'm directly and indirectly, because I'm directly talking to you to ask you, why would you preach such a thing? But indirectly, I'm coming through the people that are listening to it. Why would you hear it? Why would you obey it? If repentance and this remission is being preached, it comes by the water in the name of Jesus Christ. So if something is contrary to that, why would you hear it and why would you obey it so strong? And you would voice to me and tell the spirit that's in me, it is not essential, Bishop Patterson. It's just the outward showing of an inward grace. You don't have to be baptized. And I've taken you these 22 years. I've taken you through the scriptures in Acts, the second chapter, the 10th chapter. I took you through all of it and explored it with you day after day and every opportunity that I get to show you everywhere in the scriptures when someone was saved, they had the water and they got the spirit. They got the water in his name and they got the spirit calling on the name. Now, if you don't believe that you have to be baptized in his name, you can say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How are you going to receive the spirit? He said, receive the spirit calling on my name. Tarry calling on my name. What name are you going to use? Which one of the three titles are you going to use? You see how simple it is. But look at how much of the world has gone against the gospel that was preached at Jerusalem. How many people will not find the pardoning of their sins by the Lord signing his name in his blood? How many of you will let today pass and you think that what you already have done is good enough to meet the Lord? I'm here to tell you, directly and indirectly, it is not going to help you, because he's going to say, I never knew you. And you're going to say, I was baptized in your name. And he's going to ask you when, because he's not your father. To be born again of the spirit, you cannot be flesh of God's flesh and bone of his bone if you're not baptized in his name. There is no other name. We all agree. But if you don't use the name, what good is it to be a dry sinner, get in the water, and someone baptize you? Say, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and don't do it. See, I was baptized by those instructions. I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's why they said, I therefore baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. And then they took me in the water, and that name, while I was buried in that water, took all of the sins of this flesh away from me and kept it buried. And then I rose up. A new man came out of the water because I now had the power of the name of Jesus that can heal, that can save. You know, when I was on a flight, and I sat next to a man who said he was an atheist or agnostic or whatever it was at the time. I don't remember now, but he did not believe in God. And there was an incident on the plane that plane fell out of the air for a few feet. And from his lips came, or his spirit, his tongue, teeth, all of it, said, Jesus. And I looked at him. Excuse me. We use the name when we want an instant moving of the spirit, either for saving us out of trouble, saving us from hitting another car or a tree or whatever it is, when we want instant relief from something, we use the name. So if you think the titles had any power, well, why didn't you use one of them? When you're sick, say, oh, Father, Lord, or Son, or Holy Ghost. Why don't you use the name then? But when you need God in an instant, and there is no other time for anything else, you're going to be just like Stephen. You're going to call on the name. You're going to say, Jesus, wouldn't you? You know you would. You know you would. Nobody I know would say Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But when it comes to your essential bathing, your essential washings, it's the word, he said, that would wash. Now, the word that can wash away the sins is the name that have all power. If you know of any other name that have any other power, use it. But I'm telling you, there is no other name. And I have a witness throughout the workings of the scripture that there has been no other name. And when Peter commanded Cornelius' house, the Gentile family, to receive the baptism in water, he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And today my soul is rejoicing, because for days now I have been just so thankful that my sins were pardoned. And I'm going to tell you, I'm guilty. I'm like the man of God say, I'm the chief sinner. I'm chief. But I found the remission of sins. All the sin you have done has been because of unbelief. But once you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached in its fullness, as it is being preached right now, from this moment on, you cannot say you don't know it, because you now are hearing it. So if you've been baptized with the titles, you are now hearing that is not according to God. God said in my name, and every vessel that he sent to deliver the word of God did it in the name. And I am no different. So when you meet your maker and you meet him with a baptism not in his name, you're going to be on the wrong side of judgment, because you got to plead your cause to God now to be saved. You can't wait until the judgment. That's too late. You're already guilty. So if you wait until judgment, how are you going to find the forgiveness of sin? And now you're being judged. The day of the Lord is not a good day. I wouldn't wait on that day if I was you. I would get it done before. I would get it done now, so you can make your calls to God and say, Lord, forgive me. I have sinned. I have come short, but I want the glory of God. He would say, repent. You just did that. Now, he said, the remission of sin. How do I get the remission, Lord? By being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Doing that is how you get the remissions of sins. That remission of sins, is what is now being preached today. You want it? You want to meet God? You want to see God? You want to know who he is? Then you got to obey him. And the gospel that he sent us, it cannot fall on deaf ears. And I was so thankful, because when I'm preaching this, doing this convention that we're having, that they're celebrating, thank God, my ordination since 1994. Lord Jesus, it seemed like yesterday. 3 souls went down in water last night for the remission of sins. And the church could hear when the deacon was baptizing each one of the souls. He told them, he said, as it was preached on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that you must repent and be baptized, he said, and it's being preached the same today. There was no breaking of the scripture. There was no changing of the word of God. He said, now, my brother, I therefore baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And he took those 3 brothers. He told each one of them this. And as they come out of the water, he then gave them a promise that you shall receive the Holy Ghost. We have not broken the scriptures. We continue to preach the entrance into the kingdom of God by water and spirit. We preach the repentance and remission of sins as it was done in Jerusalem. We are continuing it to do it now throughout the world. So when you decide, I want to be right, I want to have the pardon of my sins, I want the forgiving of my sins, and I want it in the name, then you come. The church is always ready to baptize every soul that comes through the door. That's why we're there, to get you into the kingdom of God. And once you are in the kingdom, then you can have all of the joys of the kingdom, all the peace that's in the kingdom, the healing that's in the kingdom, everything that God is, you can have. because God will be in you and you will be in him. You and your Father will become one. Your spirit will speak what he says. And when he moves upon your heart, out of the abundance of your heart, you will speak good things. You will edify one another. But if something changed, that change didn't come from the one that called you out of darkness. It came from your heart or from the enemy's mouth. Now, the repentance must be, the remission of sins must be preached. So if your preacher doesn't even preach how you get the remission of sins, Jesus said this is how it was going to start out. So if he's not even preaching how to get remission, why are you there? Why are you attending a worship house where you're not going to worship the one true God? There is but one God, and Jesus Christ is he. And if you think that your sins are going to be blotted out, I would wonder, how do you think that when the obedience to the word of God is lacking? The scripture says in Isaiah 44 and 21, he said, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord have done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing. Ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone and spread abroad the earth by myself. There's but one God. And this God then, in Luke, began to prepare to send men out so that we can find this forgiveness of sin, because he saw it like a thick cloud. He said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. If we are witnesses and we are now preaching the repentance of sins, the repentance and the remission of sins, we are preaching it in the name of Jesus Christ. We are preaching it in the name. Do you have the remission of sins in the name? And if you're asking me, is it necessary? My answer to you is yes. If you're saying you have it, like he said in Matthew 28:19, I'm going to tell you, you do not. You said the words, but you didn't fulfill what it said to do. I give you this instance. Most of the times I talk concerning the remission of sin by water. And if I gave you $1 million check and say, go deposit this check in the bank in your name, I don't even have to give you your titles, Father, Son, and Husband. I say, go put it in the bank in your name. What are you going to do? You're going to put your name on that check. So if repentance and remission of sin is being preached in his name, what is the name? What is the name that the preacher going to preach it in? And the first thing I would look at is, what is the banner across the door of the place you're about to enter, where this repentance and remission of sin is being preached? Look at the name on the post of the building you're about to walk in, to find in there the preaching of repentance and remission of sins. That is a tell sign of what is being preached in there. When you look, if you're looking for a barbershop and you walk into a store that says groceries, unless you're in Walmart, Walmart got everything in it. But however, you understand my point. What is labeled is what is in it. If you want a Coca-Cola, you will get a Coca-Cola bottle and you won't buy a Sprite. Because what is in the bottle, it is labeled. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the banner that I preach from. That's the one that died. That's the one that forgives sins. That's the one that saves. So when you come under the banner of where you'll find me, I'm under the banner of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That gives me the greatest joy in the world. Even in the islands of Barbados, and I talked to people there, and they were saying, every religion is here. And I said, is there a faith of the apostles? What is that? So everything was there but the truth. And I was looking around, and there are churches all over the place. All kinds of names. And I did not find one that said the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Church of his faith, found it not. So when you look where repentance and remission of sin is being preached in his name, check the banner first. And once you check the banner, make sure it's me. Because there are a whole lot of people that now use our banner and say now it doesn't really matter. Because where I came from, there were people went to 22nd and Bainbridge at the time looking for the water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And they said, you don't need it. So they found me. They found the banner, but then they found the right anointed one. And I took that soul down in water in the name of Jesus Christ. She found the remissions of sin because she's saying, my mother was in this church and she was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and she wanted what her mother had. So she found us and we baptized her in the name. And again, it is my hope that you understand my speech today, because time is going to fail me to press upon you the importance of this gospel being preached in his name, that the repentance is preached in his name, and the remission of sins is preached in his name. That name is Jesus. And there's a whole host of folk now want to destroy that name, that it has been proven that they want it in another tongue, but it is the same no matter what tongue you try to use it. And this whole thing about a Hebrew name, where is it written that he was going to get a Hebrew name? He got a name above all names. Who said it was going to be a Hebrew name? And this whole moving to destroy something that has worked for centuries with the church for days and for years, and people have proven that the name worked. Going down the expressway and something could not be fixed unless God stepped in and they called on the name and the name fixed it. Now the enemy wants you to say there's no power in that name. Well, a man's name doesn't change. Sure it does. My name is not pronounced Anthony in Spanish, but there is a name for Anthony in Spanish. So the name in English works for me. It cannot be condemned. But I just need you to understand that the remission, that the repentance is being preached in the name of Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to pardon all your sins. He's going to wash you whiter than snow. And no matter how dark you think you are, there is still a pardoning of sins. And though we were all guilty of sinning, we can find the remission of those sins. But you must get it in His name. So, I guess I said the same thing several times, different ways, the same way. But verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. Water and spirit is your entrance into the kingdom of God. And that entrance must be preached in His name to partake of the forgiveness. You must have it in the name. So it's a joy for me to come and declare this gospel. And I can hear you saying, he's right. I can hear the heart saying, he's right. But my thing is, what is the soul going to do? You got the knowledge. What are you going to tell the Lord? If you're going to plead your cause to Him, what are you going to tell Him? Can you explain to Him why you're not going to do it? And whatever you think is a good cause, because you say, well, Reb told me it wasn't essential. Reb now can't give an account for you at the judgment. He can't stand with you and say, well, Lord, pardon him because of me. He gonna be in the same spot you in. You got to stand for yourself. There was a song the man of God used to sing years ago. He said, you got to stand in the judgment. You got to stand there by yourself because the church is not going to be there to stand with you. And I know I'm not going to be there to stand with you. My gospel is going to be the thing that's going to put you where you are because you didn't obey it. If you're standing in judgment, you are now lost. You have to judge yourself now. So let's judge it. Have you repented of your sins? That's either yes or no. There's no discussion. Have you been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ? Not sprinkled, not hosed with a water hose once a year. Have you been buried with Him in baptism with the name to remit the sins? I liken this unto you taking a bath and you hadn't bathed in 10 years and you get in some water and then you just get out and you didn't use no soap. Are you clean? Of course, you're going to say no. But if you get in there and you get some soap and began to wash, that soap I liken unto the name of Jesus Christ. It's the unction. It's the grit. It's the thing that wash. So in judging it, have you been buried with Him in water for the remission of sin? That answer is yes or no. The scripture says in him, it is yea. So if you have done it, you are then in him and you say, yea, Lord. And once you have the remission, the pardoning, the forgiving, the washing away, can you understand why that is so important? Can you understand that this is a thing that get rid of things from your birth to your death? It's your get out of jail free card. It is where the chains of this life that have you bound on your ankles can break loose on their own accord and you can walk. The door of that prison where Satan has you bound with him is going to be loosed and you can walk out of that. Because right now, if you are not baptized and you have not repented, you are chained with the enemy. And you cannot get loose unless the Lord redeems you from him. And that redemption comes by his blood. You cannot get the blood if you don't get the baptism in his name. That is how, by faith, as Paul preached in Romans, you can get the cross, because it was by this shedding of blood that we have found the remission of sin. That's why blood and water came out of him on the cross. So as you judge yourself, have I done what he said for me to do? Are you coming up short? If you are, today is the day for salvation. Don't put it off. Don't contemplate it and let the enemy make you go to bed tonight without it. We have water. We have clothing. We have someone to baptize you in the name and let you come out of the water with the remission or the forgiving or the pardoning of sins. I am guilty, but in being guilty, I have been pardoned. What about you? Are you pardoned? Is the name of the Lord written on your heart that he changed that stony heart to a fleshly heart so you can believe his words, so you can obey his words? Or are you of the contrary part that got us all in this mess? Satan bound them right when he said, you won't really die. Eat it. But you know God said, don't touch. Don't eat. And in that disobedience, we began to die. But now we have a way to live. And that living is in the name. That forgiveness comes by the name. When you're sick, what name do you use? When you want the Lord in an instant, what name do you use? That same name you use then is the name that have the power for the remission of sins. And I wanted to take the time, and it's gone already, to expound to you the importance of repentance and remission being preached. And before I go, I wanted to tell you, my brother sent me a video of Mr. Farrakhan at a gathering of Christians. And it made me kind of sad at the beginning when he began to ask the Christians, why would you associate a lie with a man of truth? And he was talking about Jesus Christ and how that Christians will lie to their children about this time of the year, this holiday thing, that a white man is going to come and bring all these gifts. And he just wanted to ask them, why would you associate a lie with this Jesus, who was a man of truth? And there was condemnation in all of them, because he even went and preached our message from Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. Because if you go read it, you'll see that heathenish thing that was done in that day, that the man of God say, don't do these things. That people go in the forest and cut down a tree. They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it so it doesn't move. Y'all know that's a Christmas tree, what y'all call a Christmas tree. And the Lord said, don't learn the way of the heathens. Don't do this. So Farrakhan was condemning them for having this tree and associating it with a man of truth. And when he finished, I said, his words didn't move them at all, because they went right out of there and went right back to their tree and went right back to doing what they were doing. But when I looked at the gospel, the scripture says there is now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. We were in Christ, so he wasn't talking to the church, but he was talking to these Christian worshipers who believe, they say, in Christ, but does not do what he says. We have no condemnation. Nobody can condemn us in anything because we are in Christ Jesus. That is the name that have the redemptive power, the name for saving, the name for washing, the name for pardoning, and the name for forgiving all of my sins, though I'm guilty. So I hope that you will find the remission of your sins. I pray that my speech and my spirit today found a place in your heart to have you look for and find the truth of the remission of sin. This is Bishop Patterson thanking you again for this great opportunity to give to you the gospel of Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. Peace be unto you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith radio broadcast. Join us where everyone will be uplifted, young and old. For more information, visit us online at theapostolicfaith.org. Calendar of events. Texas State Convention, February 23rd through the 26th in 2017, 3700 Call Street, Dallas, Texas, 75210. 64th National Women's Conference, April 9th through the 16th, 2017, 1534 North Davis Street in Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. 63rd National Men's Conference, May 25th through the 28th in 2017, 1534 North Davis Street in Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. 68th National Youth Conference, July 2nd through the 9th, 2017, 3700 Call Street in Dallas, Texas, 75210. 82nd National Convention, August 24th through September 4th, 2017, 3700 Call Street, Dallas, Texas, 75210. Scheduled events are subject to change by the spirit and the direction of Bishop Patterson.